The one I was bummed though, because the one that I wanted to see the absolute most, they didn't have on display. Wow. And that was the Kanagawa wave. It's the wave. It's the big wave.
Yeah.
It's the Japanese woodblock print thingy. They had some woodblock art. I just think that style is really cool. Yeah.
It feels
like how it's made and stuff.
For like, cause that's like pretty old. Like,
yeah, it's like, I could be way wrong, but I think like 1500s, 1600s, something like that.
For something like in the 1500s, 1600s, it has that sort of postmodernist look to it that it almost seems like futuristic.
It looks like a comic book.
Yeah.
Like something in that, yeah. God damn it. Okay, so I had the period right, but I had the year wrong.
Oh, okay.
I was kind of thinking, I feel like it's way later. It's 1800s.
Oh, okay.
But it was Edo period. Yeah, so. Yeah.
I would only go if they had the great red dragon cloaked in the sun, so I could.
That would be sick.
Eat it up.
Yeah. Nom, 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 nom. I wonder where that one is.
I bet it's in New York. That's where it was in the book. Shit, yeah, I read Red Dragon like last year. I don't know what compelled me to pick it up again, but it's goddamn good. It's a good book.
Yeah, it is. Welcome back, ladies and gents. This is episode 76 of There Will Be Duds. I am your co-host, TJ, aka J-Spot Jack Cheese, and with me as always.
As always, I am Nick, aka Dr. Funk on Twitch.
And as always, we watched a movie. That movie being The Hunt. From 2012, directed by Thomas Vinterberg. It is a Danish movie that follows elementary school teacher Lucas, played by Mads Mikkelsen, as he is wrongly accused of some adult things that are only to happen between adults doing with a child, one of his students. And then it blows up into being like all of the students, and the whole town turns on him. It's kind of like the fallout of kind of the repercussions of the accusations and him trying to prove his innocence.
We got beef.
That's it.
We got beef. You made me watch this movie, and it was probably one of the most agonizing and frustrating film experiences I've ever had. I liked the movie. I thought it was good. But I did not feel good the entire time, and it was just so angering to watch him just get shit on and not do anything and not do a very good job of defending himself in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
But,
well,
hot damn.
Well, the movie makes a good, does a good job of
explaining
showing
it.
You that he does not know, like, he's getting frustrated because nobody is telling him, like,
what exactly it was.
He knows that it was like sexual misconduct with one of the kids, and then eventually he finds out it's Clara, and then I don't even know like when or if he finds out like what specifically it is, but that's like that, like the first time the one Greth. I don't know how they pronounce her name.
I hated her.
The first time she calls him in, she's just like, yeah, there's been some reports. I just wanted to give you a heads up. And he is like, okay. But she's so vague about it.
Yeah.
And like, that's the only sort of consultation he's given before she lets fucking everybody know.
Yeah.
And then he's just on the outs, and every time he tries to ask or get close to anybody, they're like, no, don't come near me. You're disgusting. I don't want to talk to you. And he's like, please just tell me.
Yeah. You know, every time I feel like, you know, I'm like, man, I should be closer with like my community of people around me. I should make a greater effort to get to know my neighbors, to get to know people. Like, I feel like that's a positive thing in society. And then you see shit like this where it's like that small town community mindset where one little like tinder of a flame sets everything ablaze. And you're like, I'm not telling anybody anything. I don't want to know anybody.
Yeah.
Because like they all know him. Like, he can't even go to the grocery store.
Yeah. You got to move to the big city to molest kids.
Yeah. Jeffrey Epstein lived in New York City. You got a big old penthouse. That's what I'm saying.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I was really interested watching it again this time and kind of how my perception changed. Because I had only seen this once before back in 2012, 2013, whatever.
Oh, okay. So when it came out.
Yeah. Because it was either this or Hannibal. They came out right next to each other. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, hey, this, whichever one was first, I was like, oh, he's in this other thing. I really liked him in that mm-hmm. and stuff. So I want to, you know, check him out in the other thing. Kind of how I viewed the movie changed. And I definitely enjoyed it a lot more this time. I really, really liked watching it this time. Because the first time I watched it, I hated Clara. I was like, she's such a bitch. She's like, what a terrible little shit. And this time I'm like, oh, no, I get it. Clara's not the victim. Sure, she's not the villain. She's also like a victim in her own way. And she is a little kid.
Yeah.
She doesn't understand. Because she says it once. She like tells them the one thing. And then
the adults take it. She brings it up to Greth.
Yeah. And you also get like before it happens, you know, her brother and his friend like show her the porn. That's like what gives her the idea, kind of. Yeah. And also like, you know, that she does love Lucas, but she also has like her parents are always fighting and her dad is really neglectful. So she looks to Lucas as a sort of father figure. So, you know, that she is kind of looking for that sort of connection. But she's young. She's a little kid. She doesn't know how to do that.
She has these feelings that she doesn't understand and she doesn't know, like, what to do with. And so, yeah, there's that scene where, see, I was, like, the whole time I was dreading, waiting to see, like, because I would be based on this description, I was, like, waiting to, like, to see when the rumor came out, like, what was going to mm-hmm. be the inciting incident. And so when, like, you know, she kind of tackles him or whatever, and then she kisses him, I was like, oh, shit, someone's going to see it. I thought someone was going to see mm-hmm. something, like, super innocuous, because he's very, like, he's physical with the kids. You know, he's like a big towering monster, and, like, he plays with them, and, mm-hmm. like, you know, I was waiting for that. But it's like, no, he very gently told her, you know, in a way that a child would understand, hey, like, you shouldn't do that. I know you didn't mean anything mm-hmm. by it, but like, and like that little bit of rebuffing just sent the whole thing spiraling. And it's like, mm-hmm. obviously she's like a little kid and she did not know the consequences of like any of that kind of shit. And kids are super susceptible. And like that dude with like the leading questions that was just like, come
That's
on.
That's what I was going to get
you
to
can
next.
Tell
yeah.
me. It's Brandon Dassey. All over again.
I said the exact same thing. I was like, don't turn dassying into a verb here. Don't use that in the episode. But here we are.
I will gladly do it. But yeah, no, that the whole viewing was just so frustrating in those moments. And yeah, you know, when Lucas's son goes and confronts them, and he spits on Clara and like calls her a little bitch and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
I would be a liar if I wasn't just like, yeah, you tell her. You tell her. It's I feel bad, but it's like you almost get that. It's like a little bit of catharsis for like, yeah, these are the consequences of your action, 5-year-old girl.
Yeah. I kind of like it is a little cathartic, but it's more like towards the parents still for me. Like I feel for Clara, I guess not as bad as Lucas, but you know, I still feel bad for her and like her situation and everything. For me, it's more just like any random townsperson who, you know, like the people at the grocery store who are like, oh, you're his son, you can't shop here anymore.
Yeah.
And that type of shit. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And then, like, when you get to the point where he's starting to kind of boil over and he headbutts the butcher, that's, like, so satisfying.
Yeah, and he's just, like...
Even though it is just a random person. He's not tied to the, you know, to Greth or any of the other people at the school or Clara's parents, obviously. He's just a dude, but he just, you know, he's representative of that sort of the town... mindset of
yeah
you know
Yeah, and it's
hatred or
similarly whatever. With like the children too. It just it becomes a game of telephone where like this random ass butcher probably heard from someone who heard from someone who heard from someone who heard from someone who knows about it. So this butcher is probably just like, yeah, this dude took all these kids in his basement and he's got a video. Like you just like all the parents just start to like imagine what it could pop. It's almost like they take like a grim like satisfaction in being able to like judge someone in the court of public opinion and be able to just like think that someone's a huge piece of shit with impunity and just like feel righteous anger. It's almost like a part of them is just like gleeful about being able to take part of that and be like, let's outcast this guy.
It makes you feel better about yourself if you can like, you know, you're like, well, I'm not as bad as a, you know, pedophile. So, you know, I'm going to let that one like run as long as possible.
Yep.
Something that a subtle cue that the movie gives you pretty early on to let you know that Lucas is the good guy and based is that he has a Zune.
Does he? I missed it.
Yeah, you can see it. You can see it behind him in one of the like.
Oh, like, I thought it was like an iPad. Dinner scene at his house. I thought it was an iPod. I got to look again.
I'm pretty sure it's a Zune.
That rules.
I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong.
That seems like a very like Denmark thing too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a Zune. It's got all of my MP3s.
Oh, yeah. Something else I thought like was kind of funny or whatever was that they talk about there's hunting in this, like deer hunting. Not much, but you know, it's part of their culture, which I always, you know, it interests me because I know there's a lot of people in America that think, you know, it's strange that, you know, in Michigan we hunt deer, turkey, elk, I mean like, you know, anything, rabbits. And Lucas says, one of the times he's walking Clara home, she asks what his favorite food is, and he says venison.
Yeah.
And I just had the thought that like, oh, I bet some like film critics from America who are watching this were like, oh, venison, that must be some interesting Danish delicacy. And it's like, no, it's just deer.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people who don't know, you know, they don't know what venison is.
Yeah.
And I just think that's funny how it's so ingrained into our culture.
Oh, 100%.
Here. Is hunting and, you know, eating that. Where people would, you know, some people think it's gross. It's not quite akin to eating, like, cat or dog meat. But some people are like, oh, you eat deer? Like I've gotten that reaction from people before.
People always say gamey. They say it tastes gamey. But I feel like no one actually knows what that means.
There definitely is a...
It's got a unique flavor
something
for
to
sure.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love venison. I mean, I remember, like, I think your dad had a dehydrator, and he would make, like, venison jerky, and that shit ruled. That shit was so good.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I mean, even when you and I were in high school, like, hunting season would start, and there would just be kids who were, like, gone that day, because, like, they'd go out hunting with their parents.
Yep.
Or, like, you know, where my dad worked, he worked at, like, a big factory, and, like, the factory closed for a week when hunting started, which, like, my dad doesn't really hunt, so he would just be like, hell yeah, I got a week off. But like so many people would be like, it's first day of hunting season, I'm not gonna be here. The factory was just like, all right, we're just gonna close production for like the entire week because so many people are gonna be doing this thing. So it's like huge, and especially Michigan, I feel like Midwest probably, but Michigan culture, that's like a big thing.
Yeah, like Michigan, Ohio. I'd be interested to see like what the other like big the states where like hunting is as big as it is here, because I feel like we got to be like one of the most. I could be wrong though.
Yeah,
but anyways, yeah. I always it's something like it. It's kind of like God. I keep bumping my mic. it's kind of like whenever if there's like a left-handed character in something, I'll be like, oh, they're left-handed. It's like it's same thing with like hunting and stuff. I'm like, oh, hey,
neat. Yeah. My first note though was like dudes rock when it was like all those guys at the swimming hole. Yeah. And the dude is like, all right, cool. We're hanging dong like first 5 minutes of the movie. And like the whole time I was trying to figure out what was going to happen at the end and like how it was going to tie into the name of the movie. Cause like, I think my American brain was like, he's gonna get a gun and he's gonna snap, or they're gonna like hunt him for sport. Like the town is gonna come together and try to hunt him. And I was like, this ritual thing that they're doing at the beginning where they're all like jumping in the watering hole naked, that's gonna come into play. Like they're gonna be doing it after he's been ostracized and he's just gonna come with a hunting rifle and like blow some dude's dick off with his gun. I don't know. But then after like after he got ostracized and like they kill his dog, I was like, dudes are no longer rocking. I was like, all right, we're not having fun anymore. These guys suck. I thought his friend Theo looked like a weird combination of like Hans Gruber and Neil Breen.
Theo. Oh, that's Clara's dad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like whatever that Neil Breen movie is it might be Pass Through where he's got like the really shitty fake beard. I was like, oh, that's what that dude looks like to me.
I can see that. That's Thomas Bo Larson. He's like he's a mainstay for
Vinterberg's movies. I saw that he was also in Another Round, which I think a couple of the dudes in this movie are in that. Have you seen Another Round? Because I really wanted to see that. I've heard it's good.
I did. I did like it quite a bit. I definitely like this one more.
Yeah.
But I think Another Round has like one of my all-time favorite endings.
Okay. Nice.
Even though I think this is a better movie, I think that movie has like you can't watch it in a vacuum. The ending for it to really like hit as well as it did for me,
you gotta watch the whole thing to like hit it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. But awesome ending.
Okay.
And yeah, Matt's like brings in that too. He's such a great dude to watch. We got we're getting our like tent poles for all, like film Avengers, right? We have Song Kang-ho in Korea, Mads Mikkelsen in Denmark. we gotta fill this bad boy up.
Yeah, gotta get a big map with like pins in it and just gotta get actors for each region. But I love Mads in just about anything I see him in, I think. Mm. Which like I was joking with Chloe, I was like, okay. Yeah, so he's gonna be driven out of town, and then he's gonna adopt a new identity by moving to Massachusetts and practicing psychology under the name of Hannibal Lecter.
those are his origins. I think of everything I've seen with him, this is probably my favorite performance of his.
Okay,
because it's like there's a lot of subtlety to it, but then like. When he brings the emotion, I think he brings it. But I mostly just love it for the, you know, like there's the scene where he's in the church and he's like, he like starts crying and then he starts like, slamming the chair and then he like builds up. But like I love that. But yeah, I also really love the, I don't know, I can't think of like a scene in particular, but there's like really subtle moments where it's just. Him like I don't know, like maybe when he like finds his dog and then when he's burying his dog and his friend asks and he's just like, you know, can you leave me alone? And I don't know, he's really great in this. I think like all like even the kids too, was something else I noticed, that I thought Clara really good and his son
absolutely.
I have a name I can never remember, but both like really good. Marcus, that's it.
The especially like dealing with like the themes of the movie, I think. I don't know how much the kids like knew about what was going on in the movie, but I mean, there's pretty explicit dialogue that she has to say. I'm thinking like how they treated Danny in The Shining, where like they didn't really tell him what was going on. Oh, they just kind of filmed his reactions, but Clara definitely is just like, his penis was like a rocket or whatever, like, you know, whatever one of the shithead.
Like a rod.
Yeah.
It stood up.
Straight. Yeah.
Yeah. Like
I messaged you earlier about it, but like some of the reviews of this movie were just like, it's overwhelmingly good. But like, you know, with anything, you really want to find the 1-star reviews of people getting mad. And like a lot of the people were just like, Like, as if we need another reason for people to not believe, like, survivors and victims. Which, like, I don't... This movie is, like, 2012, and it's from Denmark. So it's just, like, applying, like, the cultural lens of America to it, I feel like doesn't really... It's not. It doesn't really work all that well. And it's, like... It's... I feel like the story makes you... I think people are uncomfortable because it forces people to have, like... a nuanced take on that type of issue. Cause like this movie presents like a complicated story where like, you know, like unambiguously that he is innocent, that he didn't do it, but also
yeah, it makes it extremely clear. Yeah.
But also you're like, are the parents necessarily wrong for hearing something like that from a child and like taking it seriously? Like, you kind of understand why they do what they do. Like, you understand that, like, this guy works with children, he has worked with children, and this comes out, and now it's like, why would a child lie about it? Which, like, children lie all the time. That's kind of what they do, you know? But I don't know. I think people don't like that it presents a very, like, complicated issue. You know,
yeah. To me, I think people who have that take are the same as, because I did see there was one of like the top reviews on it was like something like, it was just something like, I hate all children now or something like that. There's like, I kind of think that those and that one may have been sarcastic, but I think there's a few like that that were like, yeah, kids suck, Clara sucks.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say not, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe some of them were sarcasm, but maybe not. And I feel like the people who have that take of children suck miss the point just as much as the ones 100%, who are like, "Oh, yeah. don't listen to victims," because those people are both watching this thinking the movie is saying that Clara is the villain, which again, I wholeheartedly disagree with.
Yeah.
I think she is also a victim, just in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, it's to have a nuanced take. And I think that the fact that it does like highlight, show, like, my cats are fighting outside.
Oh, oh no.
The fact that it does show you the stuff like, you know, Clara's parents' issues and stuff like that, and something else about it, just can't think of what, but just making it clear that again, she is just a child. Oh, that, like, I feel like that it being a child is also kind of key to that, where if it was just another adult woman
who
falsely accused him, like, say it was the you know, the like cleaner
Ingrid
later,
Inez, I forget her name.
Yes, say if Nadja. It was her for some Nadja. Reason Nadja.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, like, she did it. I think that would be a little harder, like, ground to cover while also making, like, Nadja not seem like a villain.
Yeah.
But because it's a little kid who doesn't understand the weight of, like, what she said, even though, like, again, she says it, she, like, mentions it kind of to Grith when she's, like, in the room. She's like, yeah, I hate him. He, you know, he showed me his dick. And then... But then, like, that's it. The next time she talks about it, it's when that dude comes in and dassies her. And she's like, no, she's like, I didn't mean it. She's like, I lied. And then they're like, no, you didn't. You didn't lie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
And it's more about, like, it's not don't believe the victims, but, like, I don't know. I lost
it. Well, it's the whole idea.
But don't
of just
believe,
like,
the victims.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's like the court of public opinion, you know, where you know, they're because, like, they do, you know, they do an investigation, and basically, like, they find out all the kids. So all the kids, because, like, this is like the thing with children is just like, they, when they, like, discover a new thing, either, you know, your older brother shows you something, whether it's, like, a cool new swear word or a picture of a dude's dick, like, you want to go to school and you want to try it out. you want to try out new shit because, like, you're a new kid. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, man, I know something these other kids don't know. And so that's, she was riffing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that, I'm joking, but, like, you know, she had been rebuffed, you know, because he became this father figure for her where, like, you know, her, like you said, her parents were, like, arguing. Like, she's literally sitting, like, on the sidewalk outside the house, and you can hear them arguing from the street. And yeah. Lucas just comes by, and he's just like, yeah, you know, like, I can walk you to school. Like, your parents mm-hmm. are clearly in the thick of it. Like, come on. So it's like, you know, she kind of, she develops, like, a crush on him in a way. It's like he's like, a father figure, but also, you know, he takes care of her and, like, obviously cares about her. And so it's like, you know, she kisses him and he says, like, no, that's not okay. Like, you shouldn't do mm-hmm. that. Yeah. And then, you know, just a kid has just, like, one bad day and she's just like, she doesn't know what she's saying and she has no idea of the possible scope of the implications. But mm-hmm. she's mad. So she wants to hurt him in some way. And she has no idea what that kind of shit does. So, you know, as frustrated as I was with her throughout the whole movie of just like, just because, you know, that it's like not, it's not true and all the adults are just like trying to make it true, as frustrated as I was with her, yeah, it's like hating Skyler in Breaking Bad, where it's just like,
yeah,
everything that she's doing is like kind of rational and like in her own self-defense from this shitty situation she's been put into.
Yeah.
But she's kind of annoying sometimes. So it's like, yeah, she's just as bad.
That's what I was going to say. I never hated Skylar. I just not a fan of the actress. Like, I think she annoyed me.
But that means it works. That means she was great, right?
I guess. But
that's always what I say with like those actors who play characters that are, you know, that try to stifle the main character's fun. Like, people hate Chuck in Better Call Saul, but it's like, I think Michael McKean does a great performance, but Michael McKean is also very good at playing that like sabotaging brother that wants to see you fail.
Yeah, but are you supposed to feel? You're not supposed to feel for Chuck the way that you're supposed to feel for Skyler. Like, no, Chuck is a fucking asshole.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel for him in some of those scenes, though. You do feel for him a little bit. Anyway,
every time there's a flashback, you're like, you guys did have a good relationship sometimes, but God,
the winner gets it all, winner takes it all scene crushes me yeah. every time I watch it. It's devastating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chuck is Clara. That's Clara is Chuck. I don't know.
Oh, Nicholas Winding Refn makes cameo at the end. There's that.
Who is he?
He's just one of the guys at the, when they're like, before they go out on the hunt and they're like having dinner or like they're making toasts or whatever. He's just there.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah, I guess.
Apparently the director makes a cameo too, but I'm not sure where he is.
That's fun. I do like it when that happens in movies. I guess we could talk about the ending because.
Yeah.
Because like we watched it earlier today and Chloe's in the living room. She's like, all right, I'll watch this. And then the first 15, 20 minutes, she's like, I don't know if I want to watch this anymore. Because it is just such an agonizing, just like you're dreading the moment. Like, I don't know if I've ever felt the type of dread for a movie that I felt watching this today.
Interesting.
Like, yeah. Just the, like, especially like when the dude's asking the leading questions, I was literally just sitting there with like my hands on my head, just like, ugh. She's like, oh, they killed a dog. I don't want to watch this anymore. And so she started like playing Animal Crossing, still in the same room. So we finished it together, but she's just like, that's okay. And then she's like, oh, that's an interesting way that they ended it. And I was like, okay. And so I'm either thinking it's going to be some sort of subdued ending, they kill him, like, so, my mind was racing to try to figure it out. And then, you know, after he has his freak out in the church.
What, are you saying, like, did she, like, read the summary? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She's 100% a person who'll do that.
Okay.
And I'm like, don't do it. But I was like trying to rattle my brain to figure out how they're going to end this thing. And yeah, it was very not what I was expecting. But I kind of like the like is not the right word. I did think it was an interesting way that they ended it, where it's like, you know, he had his church freak out and Theo basically was like, okay, you are telling the truth. She is also telling the truth that she said a lie. And then he's basically like back in the good graces of everybody, which I was very surprised because usually I was expecting it to be like he just gets shunned and he has to move. But they take his son out.
Yeah, like that would have been such a non-ending, right? Like, yeah.
But it's like, yeah, they take his son out to go hunting, and then just like someone fires off a pot shot and hits a tree, and he can't ID who it is. And it's like that sort of like a rumor can be so devastating that some people will just believe it no matter what. And even if you think that you're in the clear and everything's good, there's always going to be someone that's just like thinks that they know what you did. And yeah, it's just like it's going to probably haunt him forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it's kind of like the best way to end the movie, really.
Yeah.
Where it's like this, it would have sucked if it was, you know, like what if he got like beat to death or something like
yeah,
that. Like
it would have been lazy. That would have been so lazy if it turned into like a John Wick revenge thing or like he blows everyone away, yeah, you know?
Yeah. But giving it that, like, you know, it also would have maybe felt weird if it was just 100% happy ending. So kind of giving it that twinge of like, oh, that's what gives that ending that staying power, is like, oh shit. Like that's the point, is that like, yeah, when like little white lies spread amongst these like small communities that, you know, as we see every fucking day in this country nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like yeah, some people are going to hang on to that shit no matter what, you know, what new like knowledge or information comes to them. Like they're like, no, I know what I know. Cause it, you know, it fits my preconceived notions about this person. So
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When that happened, Kalia was like, she was like, who was it? And I was like, I don't think you're supposed to know.
Doesn't matter.
She's like, well, who do you think it was? And I was like, I don't know. She's like, who do you think the writer meant it to be? And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly,
it's like, that's not the point.
Like
that's not
the writer. Yeah. I'm hoping the writer also doesn't know, right?
Yeah.
I feel like if it was written into the script, they'd be like, somebody.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who.
Yeah, it's intentionally obscured by the sun. Like, you see what he sees, and he can't make out who it is. So it's like, it's 100% supposed to be ambiguous, just like a sort of threat that's just always going to be there for him.
Yeah.
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 Very effective ending. I did read somewhere, someone on Letterboxd said that there was like an alternative ending. Are you familiar with that? I didn't look into it.
Does he get shot?
Probably. I feel like, I
don't know. They didn't say what it was.
Oh, the Hunt alternate ending. Lucas is actually shot by a member of the village and is left to die in the woods.
Oh.
That sucks.
Yeah, I don't think that would have been good either. No. I think the threat is...
Oh, yeah. It's much more interesting.
Yeah. Plus, it's not, again, like, if he dies at the end of it, it would just be so much of a bummer because you know he's innocent, right? So
yeah,
It'd be a super bummer. And, like, it's still a bummer that there's at least one person who, you know, doesn't believe him. But, yeah, it's better than if he just died.
And even in, like, that final scene before his son is, like, made a man or whatever, he has that last scene with Clara.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And she's like, oh, there's so many lines. You know, she doesn't want to step on lines or like cracks in the sidewalk or whatever. And he goes, and you know, this is a testament to like, you know, the innocent nature of his character and his very well-intentioned attitude. But I was like, dude, I would not even go near her at this point. I wouldn't touch her. I wouldn't, like everything would be strictly talking. I wouldn't pick her up and hold her. And I'm like, dude, don't. I was like, if someone sees that, I was almost waiting for that too, for like someone to walk in and see him like holding her, and it's like,
yeah,
don't stop it.
Yeah, I had the exact same thought because yeah, that is like, on the one hand, I really like that scene. I really love that as like closure for those two characters.
Yeah.
Or at least on their relationship as far as like, you know, within the movie. But yeah, I also thought that when he was carrying her and there's like, you know, she's like holding him, she had her head like pressed up against his. Yeah. Yeah. she's walking on thin ice for sure.
But it's like,
it's
a testament to how pure of heart he is, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And how much he really does like care for the kids.
Yeah.
That he, you know, and like he's never like really angry at her because he understands.
Yeah. Right?
I feel like if it was how a lot of people seem to think that like she's the villain, that scene would have been, she would have been like, oh, there's too many lines. He would have been like, fuck off, and like turned around or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not that, because he knows, as you should know, that, yeah, it's not really her fault.
Yeah. Kids make up stuff. They don't know what it means. They don't know what they're doing. Because like, yeah, even in that scene when like she comes to his door, he still treats her with like, you know, he's like, hey, hi, how are you doing?
In the middle of all the shit. Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, does your mom know that you're here? You should probably, you know, go home. Like, this isn't a good time. But he's still, you know, talking to her like he would, you know, mm-hmm, if even if none of the shit was going on, he's still talking to her like, you know, like, he, you know, yeah, like a mutual respect, or, you know, he does that thing where it's like, like how I feel like I would talk to kids, where it's like, you're a 5-year-old, but also I'm going to talk to you like a person and not just,
mm-hmm,
you know, and he's very good about that. Like talking to the kids almost as if they're adults, but not really, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's, yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that. That scene was like tugged at my heartstrings, and she was like still asking to like take the dog out. And he's just like, no, you can't do that right now. He's like, I don't think that'd be a good idea right now, or something like that.
Yeah. And then when she like asks her parents where Franny is, and they're like, I don't know. It's like, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Does that mean like, did Theo kill his dog, or was it?
I don't.
Someone else?
Yeah. If it's not him personally, it's that friend group that decided that they're going to just make him suffer.
That would be something where, like, I guess if I was the person in that situation, if I was Lucas, and, like, one of my friends killed my dog, I'd be like, I don't care if it was a misunderstanding. We're not friends anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's no way I could get over that with somebody.
Nope. I mean, literally, that's John Wick. They kill his dog, he goes on a murderous rampage. You kill any of my animals, and it's just like, okay, all right, the gauntlet has been thrown on the ground, and like, there's nothing you can do. It's done.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we should have saved this for next week, because this is kind of a Christmas movie if you think about
that's
it.
That's right, like, it is, you know? Yes, I was like, god damn it, this does technically count, because the shot of him just sitting in the house alone, dark on Christmas Eve, was such a bummer.
Yeah.
I appreciated the use of silence a lot in this movie too. There's like a few shots where he's just kind of in the woods, and it's just like some very pretty scenic like landscapey shots, and it's like, uh-huh, they could put like music in there, but it's like, it's silent. And like, I really appreciated that. And there's like, mm-hmm, the shot of him like kind of sitting alone Christmas Eve in his dark house was, I remember that was silent too. But the soundtrack was good too. Like the acoustic guitar sort of like theme that kind of played a few times, I thought was really great.
Yeah.
It was very
like, I like the music.
It was used effectively, where it wasn't like overbearing for melodrama, where it just kind of came in when it needed to and then wasn't there when it wasn't needed. It's like technically a Christmas movie in the way that like Eyes Wide Shut is technically a Christmas movie.
Right. Yeah.
The events take place around that time. But hey, yeah. You know, we're in December. It counts.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I love it. I love Mads Mikkelsen. But also the rest of the cast is really great. I really appreciated I feel like understanding the movie a lot better on my second view. Now that I'm not, I don't know. I think I'm a bit more intelligent of a moviegoer than I was 10 years ago. And yeah, everything else we said, you know, directed really well too. Yeah, the ending is great. Yeah, I really don't know what else to add. I think I'm going to go with an 8.5, almost a 9. I was kind of juggling it for a bit, but I think I'll settle on 8.5. Love it a lot. I've only seen a couple of this guy's movies, but it's probably my favorite of his. And yeah, like I said, probably my favorite Mads Mikkelsen performance too. So a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, I'm also pretty much at an 8. I really like the movie a lot. Am I going to watch it again? Maybe another 10 years. It was an extremely uncomfortable viewing. And I do take that into, I'm not counting that negatively towards the movie, but just like viewing experience. I think it achieved its intended goal, which is to just make your skin crawl with just like anxiety and dread and anger. You feel a lot of emotions like for a lot of these characters. And I thought the movie was very effective. I thought the story was interesting and I thought it was thought provoking and like, you know, it makes you think about uncomfortable things and it makes you uncomfortable and like you kind of have to like rationalize and deal with how you think about things, like especially these types of situations. So, you know, this thought-provoking. My boy Mads is great. I love how they even used, like, obviously, like, pictures of him from his youth, like, in the photo frames in that one scene. He's just, I don't know, he's just got a very, like, sympathetic face to me. Even in Hannibal, even in that spoilers season 2 finale, when he's, like, holding Will after he stabs him, and he's like, I let you see me. It's like he can be a psychopathic, cannibalistic killer, and like he's just got a sympathetic face. So yeah, 8.8. The movie's it's pretty good.
Nice.
Speaking of pretty good,
speaking of nice, yeah, that's here's an ad. Are we back?
Yeah,
I think that's what this is saying.
Yeah, I'm thinking we're back.
Okay. Okay, yeah, we did kind of bring it up last episode, but I hadn't quite gotten my hands on it yet, but I have now put a few hours into Pokemon Scarlet, the newest in the mainline Pokemon series.
And it sucks shit. I don't know.
not quite. I have noticed some, but nothing like what I've seen like on like people post on Twitter, like that frame rate shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But the worst that I've noticed is like as I'm walking around, because I got like to the main the first like big city. If there's people who aren't like close up to you, you can see they walk like this kind of.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's like in like Super Mario 64 or something when Mario is really far away from the camera, like it's like a very very low poly, low rendered version of Mario. So it's like. When characters are further away, like their animations are like less smooth kinda. And nuanced.
Yeah, it's more like their how they looks pretty much the same. But yeah, they're like how they walk is really choppy. But as far as like during battles or just like encountering Pokemon, I really haven't noticed any of it. I've seen some people say that if you save the game data to your like to your Switch instead of an SD card, it can help. And I don't know, maybe I have that defaulted with mine and that's why I'm not seeing as many issues, but I really don't know what people are talking about for the most part, but that said, like it is still like a AAA title. Yeah. Even with what I've seen, it should be cleaned up a little bit.
It would be funny if just like the characters in the background are like T-posing and like floating around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. It's probably not as bad as like, God, what was it? The Cyberpunk game that came out last year that was just completely broken.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like some of the shit that I've seen on Twitter about like the Pokemon games, it's just like they would like fall out of the loading zone and just like into the void under the ground. Mm. There's one today that I saw that was like they didn't put a limit on how fast you could spin a character. So like the Pokemon trainer or whatever that you run, he was just like and just like spinning extremely fast.
Whoa.
But also I feel like if you're looking for that shit, you could probably find it too. Like most game players aren't gonna be like, how fast can I make this guy spin?
Yeah. Yeah. And there is a and I'm not saying that is like this is like an excuse and stuff like frame rate issues shouldn't necessarily be included in this, but like it's really fun in like old Super Nintendo or Nintendo 64 games when you find like, you know, like defects or whatever in the design and you can like exploit that to like do some weird glitch or to make characters do some like crazy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So like if there's that stuff in this game, I'm all for it. But yeah, maybe clean up your frame rate issues.
Yeah.
But as far as gameplay, I think it's pretty neat. It's my first I didn't play Arceus last year, which this one from what I gather has borrowed a lot from, as far as like kind of making it more open world and making it more streamlined. Yeah. So like in this one, there's this feature where you can throw out your lead Pokemon in your party, and you can just throw them out and then they'll walk around, and then there's like you know, in old Pokemon games, you walk into grass. Mm-hmm. You don't see any Pokemon in the overworld. You walk through the grass, like and random then after encounter. A while, yeah, random encounters, and then the screen flashes, and then you go into the battle and stuff. Well, in this, you see all the Pokemon. You know, it's not like flashing in random encounters. Yeah, it's like you go into a route, you go into a wild area, and you see all of the Pokemon that you could potentially fight. Something that you can do is just throw your lead Pokemon out, and then they can just go fuck them up. You don't even have to go into a battle. Which is really neat. You throw them out, and then you'll see them like kind of clash, and then you'll see like a thing will pop up, and like as you're moving, you know, you can keep doing your own thing, and it'll just like pop up, and it'll show your guys get experience points and like anything else that they dropped or whatever. And then they'll do that a few more times, and then it'll be like, you know, your Psyduck exhausted themselves and returned to you.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like that's probably a good solution to grinding. I don't know how bad grinding was in, like, early Pokemon games, but from, like, you know, playing Chrono Trigger, that's definitely a game where, like, if you go into a fight underleveled, mm-hmm. you will get your shit rocked. So you just kind of have to go around and, like, smurf enemies over and over and over again to, like, grind that XP to get everybody leveled up. So that's kind of an interesting solution to, like, you know, because every you know, the battle screen, and then you go in, and it's just like, yeah, that if it alleviates that, that's pretty smart.
Yeah. Yeah. And even when you do go into battles or like trainer battles, it's still pretty smooth. Like you'll be walking in the overworld, and then you'll walk into a Pokemon, and then you'll just kind of jump back, and then you'll throw your Pokemon out. And then it goes to, like, the regular, you know, attack and moves. So there's no, like, there's no flashing screen. There's no, like, loading thing. It's, like, it's all done right there. And then when you knock them out, the camera just, like, shifts, and then you're moving again.
Hmm.
So even that's pretty streamlined, which is cool. But the thing with the, it's called the Let's Go feature or whatever. That's what it's called when you throw your guy out and they just do stuff.
Yeah.
It like, being able to see the Pokemon in the overworld makes me feel a lot worse about, like, fighting them and knocking them out. Because you'll see they'll, like, group up and there's, like, a group of Hoppip just, like, chilling by a tree, and they're, like, they're all, like, smiling. And then you can just, like, throw your dude and he just fucking fucks them all up one by one.
It'd be funny if just... Because, like, I don't know what happens after, like, if you get into an encounter and, like, you beat them. But, like, if you just kind of send your guy out and go about your business, and then you come back and just, like, the characters are still just, like, sprawled out on the ground and they're just like there for the rest of the game, like you killed them basically.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, maybe this isn't good what I'm doing.
It's like an Undertale thing where like every Pokemon you knock out is like it stays there the entire rest of the game and you have to deal with it. You like get to the next town and they're like, oh my god, did you do that there?
Have you beaten Undertale?
We can't let you in our town.
How much?
No, I've never even played it, but I know that feature of it.
Yeah.
I'm aware of it.
Well, okay, sidebar. With Undertale, there are different like routes you can take, right? Like pacifist, yeah, etc. Mm-hmm. But there's like, they call it the genocide route. And that is like, because like in the game, you can kill creatures and still get generally like a decent ending. But the genocide route is just like, you have to go out of your way and kill every single character that you randomly encounter. And then eventually, like, you'll get the little like blip, like random encounter. And then it'll be like, but no one came. And then the music kind of makes me think of like Over the Garden Wall, like with the slowed down version of Potatoes and Molasses. But like when that happens, it's like a super duper like 300 times slowed down version of like Flowey's theme, the flower. It's just like this very dark ambient music that plays in an area after you've killed everybody and like no one shows up anymore for random encounters. It's dark. It's a good game. You should play it.
Yeah, I know. It's on my short list. But
despite what all the annoying ass fans online are like.
Yeah, I will say that has not helped, but I know I've heard it's good.
Yeah, it's pretty charming. And the music in it's fantastic.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, I think it says I've done like 6 hours in the game and I just got to the school, which is basically like you start at your house, you go get your starter Pokemon, and then you have like one route and then there's a city and then your school's at the top of that. So really, if I just went straight there, I'd be like under an hour. But me being who I am, when I get to an open world game, I go fucking everywhere can go. So yeah, I've apparently put in like 6 hours and just got to like the point where you can like you start getting like I just got like so in this you get like it's kind of like side quests in a way, but it's like, you know, your main quest. So I got the one for like the gym challenge. So, you know, going to the 8 gyms and then beating the gym leaders and stuff, like the typical shit. And then there's a thing where you hunt titans, which are like titan Pokemons, and they like guard special items and stuff. And then there's another one that I think I'm gonna get to, and that's kind of like at that point. So like right now what I just got to and haven't really been able to explore yet is like, okay, you get to the school and then you can go anywhere in the world and you can do whatever you want now. I'm really at the open world stuff, so
kind of like the Great Plateau.
Yeah, essentially. That's, which, like, I just got off the Great Plateau, you could say.
Because, like, I'm pretty sure when I started Breath of the Wild, like, I think I spent a good 4 or 5 hours on the Great Plateau just, like, exploring. Because I think even then I was like, whoa, this world is huge. And then you get off the plateau and you're like, oh, holy shit, it's even bigger than I thought.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so far I'm digging it. I have pretty high hopes based on like how it's gone so far and like what else is supposed to be in store. I guess for anyone interested, I pick Sprigatito as my starter.
This is a new gen, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I'm gonna evolve it because I like that one the most. it reminds me of Freya.
Nice. So,
I think there was something else I was going to say, but I don't remember. So
we can
shove on.
Yeah. So I saw a few movies this week. Namely, I'll start. Well, I guess if I wanted to start highest, I would talk about Die Hard first, but I'll go second highest. which is the Banshees of Inisherin, which I think we first mentioned with Connor in one of those episodes we were talking about. I think it was it Deadfall? I think it was the Deadfall episode. We talked about like this movie. It was like, oh yeah, there's a new like Martin McDonagh movie coming out, which, you know, I saw in Bruges like 10 years ago and I remember liking it, but it's been so long since I've seen that movie. Like I'm due for another rewatch. I was not a fan of Three Billboards when it came out. Not a huge fan of that one. So I was like, I don't know if I like this guy's thing, but I thought
it's my least favorite, but I still like it.
Banshees, I really liked it. It was,
that's good.
It's sad. It's a very subtle sadness. Cause like, you know, the premise of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Just like, it's just like two Irish dudes or Scottish dudes or whatever. Like
Irish.
I just don't like Sian anymore. Just like,
yeah.
And like Colin Farrell's just like, he doesn't understand. He plays such a like simplistic kind of dim-witty kind of guy where he's just like,
yeah,
well, why don't you like me anymore? Like that kind of shit. But it's very good. It's like a character piece between the two. And it's like, it's very like low key. Like there, I think there are some like big ideas that you could extrapolate from it, but it's like a very low key kind of movie, like very simplistic. Barry Keoghan is in it. He does one of my favorite Letterboxd reviews was just like another great entry in the Barry Keoghan is a creepy little guy expanded universe or whatever. Because like every movie I've seen him in, he's just like, something off about him. Which is funny because this is him and Colin Farrell again from like Killing of a Sacred Deer. Like they're
and
they're like
and the Batman.
God damn it! Yeah, that's true.
He plays a creepy little guy in that one too.
But yeah, Colin Farrell was great. Brendan Gleeson was like, just it is very good. Surprisingly funny for how kind of sad the themes of the movie are. It was very funny. Carrie Condon was in it, who is Mike Ehrmantraut's daughter-in-law from Better Call Saul.
Yeah, I knew I know that name.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah, everyone's pretty much great in it. So that's a pretty big recommend from me. Going down the list here, we saw Glass Onion tonight. Mm-hmm. The sequel to Knives Out, which we watched like Knives Out two nights ago, and that movie's pretty damn great. I don't know what your thoughts on Knives Out are.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I really, really, really like Knives Out.
Yeah.
I gave Glass Onion 2.5 on Letterboxd. Ooh,
damn.
It.
I've been seeing mixed. It seems like people like really don't, but I've seen people still give it like just as high as
too. I think I just like the sort of like East Coast mansion in the fall vibes, and this is like rich guy on an island kind of vibes, and it's like I don't know, and like the cast wasn't as engaging or charming. Like in that first movie, you've got Don Johnson, you've got Jamie Lee Curtis, Michael Shannon, Christopher Plummer, Anna de Armas, Lakeith Stanfield.
Chris Evans is great in that.
It's crazy. Like the cast. Yeah. Chris Evans is amazing. He's such a good like heel in that movie. And then I don't know. It's like Dave Bautista. I mean, Leslie Odom Jr. is pretty good. I feel like he probably could have used more to do his character, keeping it vague. Yeah.
But I like Dave Bautista usually, but
he's got a weird head.
Yeah,
he's got one of those like wrinkles on the top of his head.
Yeah, it's looking at the cast. It's got a couple people I really like, and then a couple people I'm like.
Man, Janelle Monáe was like, pretty good.
Yeah, she's surprisingly like pretty good in whatever I've seen her in.
I really like her music. A couple of her albums I really like.
Yeah. Elvis's Electric Ladyland.
Yeah, that album rules.
Yeah.
She collabs with Prince on that one. And also, it's a movie that references the pandemic. And that was like, I was just like, immediately, I was like, don't do it. I don't like that shit. Like the, oh, we can hug each other now, right? Like that kind of shit. I was like, no, don't.
That's too bad.
I mean, it's mostly at the beginning, and then once they get to like the island, it's like they don't really mention it as much, but it's just like everyone's wearing masks and we're like, hey guys, remember Zoom? Where I was like,
okay.
I was like, come on, dude.
Damn.
So, I mean, there were some, there's like a very specific reference to Magnolia in this movie, which took me completely by surprise. And I don't know if you're from, if like you've seen Magnolia recently enough to like be able to spot it, but there's just one, it's non-consequential, but there's like a flashback to a different scene with like Edward Norton, and he's dressed exactly like Tom Cruise as Frank T.J. Mackey.
Oh, okay.
Like he's got like
maybe get that one.
He's got like the red button up, the like leather vest, and his like long hair pulled up.
Hair.
I was like, holy shit, he's doing the seduce and destroy. Gotta tame the cunt in like Magnolia.
Wow.
I was like, holy shit, what a very specific reference. That, like, I feel like I'm the only person in the theater that got. I was like, get out of my head, Rian Johnson. It still had some pretty good, it was still pretty funny in spots. Like, it wasn't terrible, but I think Knives Out casts a very big shadow. And it's like, it's hard. I mean, it's maybe, hard to live up to that.
Maybe. I think I have at least come to the thinking on this one to not look at it as highly as that. Maybe I'll have more fun with it if I try not to. If I can, I still might. I don't know. Cause I've liked every other, I've seen every Rian Johnson movie up to this one. And I like at least I would say everything he's done is like at least a 7 for me. So I really dig him as a writer director.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, like, you know, I was talking to Trevor about this the other day, and, like, you know, because people shit on him for, like, the Star Wars movies that he did or whatever.
Yeah, that's
But wrong. Also, he wrote probably 2 of the best and 2 of my favorite episodes of Breaking Bad.
I was going to say,
like,
Ozymandias is probably my favorite episode of Breaking Bad, and then Fly is another, like, top 5.
Yeah. Which, like, people hated Fly, which is, I don't know, I love that episode. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing Looper in theaters. I remember liking Looper for the most part. Looper's, it's been a while.
Looper's
but
good. Yeah, Looper's solid. Brick is great.
Yeah.
I'd have to rewatch that one.
Same. It's been a while.
I feel like from memory, that's probably my favorite of his. It's either that or Knives Out, though.
Yeah. Yeah, Knives Out is just, it's so good. It's got Judy Gemstone in it as Fran. I always forget that she's in that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, speaking of Looper and Bruce Willis, we watched Die Hard. I've never seen Die Hard before. It rocked. It was so much fun. I think I was thinking about it when Chloe and I were in the elevator the other day. I was like, how good of a Halloween costume would that be? To be the guy in the elevator who has the sweater on that just says, I have a machine gun now, ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. Yeah.
But yeah, no, easily a Christmas movie. There's no debate there for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's maybe my favorite, or that's maybe like number one action movie for me. I honestly don't know if anything, I don't know. I'd have to think long and hard to think if, like, anything would top that movie for me. I love it.
It's just so well paced as an action movie, too.
Yeah, I think it's one of like the best like structured and paced like, I don't know, movies. Period. It's just, it's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, and like that's like Alan Rickman's like first role.
Yes, I believe so. Or at least that's like, that's the rumor or whatever. Cause I remember seeing that thing, like, it was like, oh, you know, don't give up on your dreams. Alan Rickman didn't land his first like role until he was like 42 years old.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it was Hans Gruber in Die Hard.
So it looks like, yes, it was his first film role. So
he I'm pretty sure he's been TV in like shows. Theater and like.
He's in like, yeah, some like TV series, like, you know, probably like BBC shit. Yeah, he was in like few in like the 80s. But yeah, definitely the first like major, you know, big thing. Yeah, and he's awesome.
Yeah, he's great. Like,
yeah.
I really enjoyed the scene where he like puts on his American accent, because like,
yeah,
him and John McClane haven't met before, so mm-hmm. he's just like, oh wow, is that a gun? Like he's like got this like Americanized accent, yeah. But then he's like, he knows that it's him, so he gives him the gun full of blanks, or like that there's no bullets in the clip.
Yeah, what do you think I'm fucking stupid, Hans? Yeah. Oops, yeah. No bullets. Yeah.
There's so many good like one-liners and just like Bruce, like John McClane shit talking. It's great. Mm-hmm. And I really liked Reginald Ville Johnson too. I forgot that he was in this movie, and like him, like their relationship that they develop over like the radio is mm-hmm. so great.
Yeah. Al, is that his name?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's so many, like, it's so great that there's so many characters that just, like, make their mark in the movie, even though they're, I don't know, it's like, it almost feels like you're watching, like, the end of, like, a TV series with all these, like, you know, there's, like, the TV news reporter guy who gets his little, like, storyline. He's trying to, like, break the story, and there's the, you know, the bickering between Al and then like his sergeant, and then later the FBI guys who have the same name for some reason.
And then like the German dudes that like the one that dies, so the other one is just like
his brother.
He's like seeking revenge. You've got like the nerdy dude who's like trying to crack the codes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
All the characters feel so interesting.
Theo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, Theo, his limo and then driver.
The German brothers, Carl. Yeah. Limo drivers, Argyle. I know a lot of the characters. Not everybody's, but I know quite a bit of the characters' names.
And then, like, the sleazy dude that tries to, like...
Ellis.
He's like, yeah, no, I make decisions like this every day. And John McClane's like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. He's going to kill you. And then he does.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy always makes me think. I always call him like Eric Bana knockoff. That's what he reminds me of. I wish if we hadn't already set our one, which I do want to do, the Christmas movie that we have picked. But you know, maybe next year for Christmas,
Die Hard would be a fun one to do for Christmas. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. That's an easy. Easy tenor for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Easy. Yeah.
Well, speaking of our Christmas movie this year.
Yes. Yeah, speaking of that. Christmas movie. We were gonna flip a coin, like we rolled a die last year, but there's only two of us. But we both kind of were thinking of doing this movie anyways. So we're just gonna do it. Flip a coin and both sides are the same movie, so we're gonna do from 1992, directed by Brian Henson. We're gonna watch The Muppet Christmas Carol. It's on Disney Plus, and it's for rent on all the regular shit.
God, I think I watched this movie like three times last year.
Yeah.
We saw it at the Wealthy Theater, and then I think we watched A Christmas Eve last year at my parents' place.
This is our every year Christmas Eve movie. So I'll be watching it at least twice this year. And that's okay with me. So if you don't want to be spoiled for The Muppet Christmas Carol, well, spoilers, it's a Christmas Carol. So, you know, if you know that story, it's that. So, but it's with the Muppets, so it's better. Watch it before next week's episode. These episodes come out every Wednesday at 7 p.m. EST. On YouTube and Twitch in video form, as well as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more in audio form. We also have social pages on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. That's about it. It's always weird doing it with these.
This. I don't know. How do I be funny? There's nothing funny. Okay.
A man stands in the woods and is fired at, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who shoots. TJ, aka J's Project Cheese and the Nice. Thing, as always.
Oh, that's good. That's good. As always. Oh shit. I am your little where are they at in this movie? Is it Denmark?
Denmark.
I'm your little Denmark penis on the man jumping into a big old bog with his bros.
Nice.
Nick, aka Dr. Funk on Twitch.
All right. See you later.
Oh, goodbye.